Pine City Planning Commission meeting of September 16th to order. I'll have roll call starting on my plate.
Rob Alonso here.
Gloria Fleming here.
Douglas Ward here.
Norm McClung here.
Don Brander here.
We're all present and accounted for. Pledge of Allegiance. Kathy Egan, would you lead us in that, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Members, any added agenda items?
Waho?
No?
No.
Out for me, you? Okay. We'll go down to number five, public comments. Would anybody like to make a comment on what we do here at the Planning Commission?
No? I don't want to fluster her.
What's that?
I don't want to fluster her, so I say so.
There's an old story, it goes, there's an old song that goes, "You can be removed." All right, approval of the meeting minutes for Wednesday, August the 9th, 2015. Any changes, comments, or classifications? Any discussion on that?
August 19th, right?
Yes.
Yes, Wednesday, August 19th.
Right.
No?
No.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes, August 19th.
I so move.
I'll second the motion.
All right, further comment? None? Vote? On my far left. That's you, Alonzo.
Aye. Vote, aye. Say that again.
That's you. Approve the meeting minutes.
Aye, aye. Yes. Aye.
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 Okay, all right. Number seven, the Huntington Road car wash site. Which one of you two are going to take the lead on that?
I can talk about it. Everybody has an addendum to your packet in front of you. This is just an informational item for you, just to keep you up to date of what's been going on at the city, at the planning department, for the last, since we talked, I guess, about a month. This is the most recent submittal from the car wash on Huntington Avenue. Yes, sir.
Would you talk into the mic so the peanut gallery can hear?
No problem.
Push, yeah, hold the, put the red button down.
It's down.
Does it work?
Closer. Is it working?
No.
Okay. It's not work, so I just use this one. So.
Is it working now?
No.
All right, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was saying this is an informational item for the commission to let you know what's been going on in the county, or excuse me, the city for the last month, just one of many items. This is submittal from the car wash to some expansion and remodeling on Huntington Road. Just wanted to give you an update. We've reviewed it internally. It's a pretty straightforward, simple site plan. So we've sent them a letter with some conditions of approval of things that they need to address, and they're working on addressing those right now, and we'll address those before submitting to the county. But just as a quick recap, what they're looking at doing, they would like to do is turn one of the existing car wash bays into their office space with the restroom. And get rid of the porta potty that's out there. Add an accessible parking space, and then add on a new maintenance bay on the south end of the existing structure. When we receive a plan like this, the things we look at are access to and from, in this case, Huntington Road, appropriate sizing of parking, accessibility and maneuverability within the site. Make sure nothing's blocking it. We also look at things like, particularly in a car wash where there's a lot of water usage, backflow devices in place so water doesn't flow back into the water system, stormwater drainage, so make sure there's enough pervious surface area to absorb all rainwater that falls on the site. In this case, they're not proposing to add any additional impervious surface area, so we didn't get real harsh on that, saying we did a lot of landscaping, things like that, because they're not changing their impervious surface. So it's a pretty straightforward review. Just want to keep you updated as far as what they were doing out there. And it's not at final approval stage yet. They have to go through the county to get building permits and things like that, and provide us with documentation to support some of our conditions of approval. That's So it's just an update, unless there's any questions on the process of where we go next.
That's not changing the current service that they provide. I mean, it's not being automated anymore or anything like that.
No, not from my understanding, not from any information we've been provided. The only thing that's changing from the service they're providing now would be that one of the car wash bays is being turned into an office, so it's going to be one less car wash bay. But as far as the existing car washes, from the information we've been provided, they should be being the same as they are now.
What is the maintenance bay for? Is it a loop?
That's my understanding, it's a loop and oil.
Quick like equipment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But as far as the additional car, like the car wash services, no, nothing changed. But they would be adding, yes, a loop and oil.
Okay, so there'd be some hazardous material there probably that they'll have to address, okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're not actually reducing any of the landscape areas, same as what it was?
At this point, that's what we have been given right now, is that they won't be changing the landscaping. There is some possibility, from what I understand, is that one of the small areas on the side, they might consider putting some pavers into it to make it a bit more maneuverable, but by city zoning ordinances and codes, that is allowed, and pavers are considered as part of the landscaping.
Now, has he applied for all the necessary permits?
My understanding is he's in the process right now of applying with those with the county, but the first step was certainly to go through us at the city.
Do you see any problem with this?
I don't. Well, with the plan you're looking at right now, I gave him a number of comments back. And there are things that are going to be changed. For example, you can see the vacuum station as it's positioned. That's not a good location in that it's right in the middle of the drive aisle. And those parking in the new parking spaces could very easily back into it. We did talk and he said that was an error and that wasn't supposed to be there. So he's going to submit some revisions to that. You know, other details like the parking spaces weren't drawn the correct size. They need to be a little bit longer. Aisle widths need to be dimensioned to be a minimum of 24 feet. So there were some minor things that we did address with him in a letter back to him. That's why this is still in process to get those details worked out.
So they're going to relocate the vacuum station from where it is today to this point.
No, where it's shown right now, they're going to take that off of the map, off the plan here, and move that. And that's something that we're waiting to receive from him as far as where that's going to go. But it will not be in that drive aisle there.
Yeah, that's a very poor location for it. You can't get anywhere close to it without dropping, without blocking something.
Right. Yeah. And so that will be moved according to the applicant.
Sounds like you have everything well in hand.
Thank you. We're working on it.
Will we see this again, or will you go ahead and make a decision based on
this one, we would make a decision on administratively, unless there was something that you're hearing it's a glaring issue on something like this, or some controversial issue. This is a pretty straightforward site plan review that we would deal with administratively, and should be able to wrap up in the next week or two when we get the final comments back from him.
When does he plan on doing this, if they issue the proper permits?
I'm sorry, say when?
Yeah, when.
I don't know. He hasn't relayed that information to me. It sounds like he's wanting to get going soon. He's been pretty responsive when we've had comments. They started this process several months ago. But my understanding is in the next couple of months. But according to city processes, he's got 2 years that the city's approval stands. And if it's not done within those 2 years, he has to come back to the city for a new application.
Okay. Sounds good. Any further questions from the commission? No? All right.
Did they happen to mention how many jobs that this will create?
Not to me.
No, I didn't hear any comment on that.
Can't create very many. All right, let's move on to item number 8. Thank you for your presentation.
Sure.
Storage unit update.
I'll take that one.
No idea what that's about.
Sure, that, I'll take that one as well. It's just an introduction to the topic because it'll probably come before you at the next planning commission. The city has received an application from the Allens, Vicki and Earl Allen, who own the storage units at the Burgess and Schedule intersection there. They've purchased the property just to the south of the existing storage units and would like to expand the storage unit usage into that existing, the existing lot that used to have the boat storage on it. Mm-hmm. It's clear now, it's got a fence around it. They want to make better use of that parcel and expand storage units. There's going to be a three-part application that will come before you. One will be consideration of the expansion of the use of the storage units. The other one will be a request that they have to remove the lot line between the existing storage unit parcel and the new parcel they just purchased to the south. Because the way the lot line is positioned, it doesn't make it real convenient to position more storage units in there. You can't put a building over a lot line. Actually, they've already submitted the application to request to remove that lot line. And then the third portion of it is to partition off the existing commercial structure that is there, and so that that can be used separately. So it's a three-part application. In my professional opinion, I would suggest that the commission consider the lot line adjustment and the partition in tandem, for reasons I can get into in more detail when we have the official application for the partition at hand. But it just makes more sense to consider them together based on utilities and access to all the sites involved. So there's not a lot of information on that for us to share right now. I just wanted to give you a heads up that we have been talking to them and have received a number of questions and a few applications, and the process has started and they have their surveyor working on it. So I would anticipate to have the partition application in hand, I'm guessing in a couple of weeks, but it's in their hands at this point. And we'll keep you posted when we do. That would be a decision before you as soon as we can get that in hand and process it.
How big of a piece of property is it?
I'll have to look at the whole site.
Can you say how many units they're adding?
I think that they've loosely said that, but I don't have all those details in front of me right now.
Well, are they planning on using that entire old boat yard there?
Again,
that's a lot of room.
It's a lot of room there, and you know that they're not required to submit a site plan to us at this point because they're not asking for site plan approval. They're just asking for the use to be able to have some extra storage. So we wouldn't know that until site plan.
So the partitioning, the commercial building will not be part of the storage unit?
That's correct. That could be separate. Do you
have any idea what they're going to use that for?
That could be sold separately. That will be one reason to partition something, and then it could be a different use. It would remain commercial.
Any further questions or comments?
No.
Do we still have do we still rent a place over there like we used to?
The cell tower?
Huh?
I don't understand the question, Doug. I'm sorry.
Well, we used to have one of the units at this.
Oh, for the city?
For the city.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't have a storage unit.
It's gone now?
Yeah, we don't have a storage unit.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to number 9, rezone update.
That's me as well. So one of the things that I was asked to look at was the fact that the city has the two map systems we talked about at the last meeting. You have a zoning map that shows your existing zoning map or zoning parcels, and then you have a comprehensive plan map. And that system was set up for a number of reasons. One is when you did your comprehensive plan, the city made certain goals of where you'd like to see the city be in a number of years, and that is what resulted in the plan map. At that time, the city had not adopted a transportation system plan, nor a stormwater management plan, I believe. And so the comp plan mapping couldn't be achieved until the transportation issues had been addressed and researched. Now that the city has the transportation system plan in place, we can go ahead and look at rezoning legislatively a number of parcels to get them to that comp plan map zoning. And that process is a, it'll be a, you know, several month process of public hearings and discussion with property owners. But the first step in that, we've started, and that is coordinating with the county to get a spreadsheet of the GIS information of how many parcels are we talking about, what are their zoning now, what would it be in the future, who are the owners, owners' addresses, those sorts of things. So just want to give you an update that we've started that process of research to find out the information on all those parcels. And then once we have that in hand, we can sit down and see more in detail what we're looking at and have that discussion and maybe some workshops to talk it through. And I also met with DLCD as well to let them know that we were starting this process because they were always very involved in any sort of legislative change. Very involved meaning they may or may not. They have the opportunity to be, and we have to notice them. In this case, they felt like it was probably good timing, and they didn't have any concerns at this point. They would just be there as a reference and chime in as necessary.
Any comment? Donald?
No.
No?
I thought, is there really change? I mean, we have to actually change a lot of those, or would it be, could they just be put for multiple use, or?
You know, it depends on how drastic the changes are. From looking at the mapping, it didn't, you know, we're not going to be looking at taking a residential neighborhood and changing it to commercial. It's not going to be that sort of change. It'll be something more like, you know, maybe you've got a higher density residential area that you want to consider to be a mixed use residential commercial. So maybe it still needs to remain mostly residential, but you can have some commercial activity. So there might be, maybe there's a pocket that there's a number of home businesses already going on in some of the homes, or they have a home downstairs, an office, actually reverse office downstairs, home upstairs, to give them some more flexibility in how they use their property. The idea would be to make it more advantageous to the property owners as well as to the city's long-term goals. And obviously if there's a lot that the city's looking at changing drastically that just wouldn't make sense to that property owner, that's a discussion that should be had before it gets too far down the road. But no, I think it's more of a opening opportunities for uses for the lot.
More of an opening up rather than shutting down.
Right.
Okay.
And the way the code is set up for the city, a lot of the codes are cumulative. So if you have if you're upzoning it, it still has all those opportunities to have the other uses of the other codes or the other zones as well. So, but we can have a lot more of those details, I think, to discuss once we have the spreadsheet outlined and see the differences.
How long do you think that's going to be?
The overall process or to get the information?
Before we start discussing the,
We should have detailed information from the county, I would think, within the month, probably within the next couple of weeks. But by next meeting, I would think we should have some good information to show you.
Is it quite a few parcels?
It is quite a few, yes.
Okay. Anything else on that? No? All right, we'll move on to number 10. Natural hazard plan.
I'll update you on that one as well. That one is, again, just an informational item. The county, Deschutes County, has adopted, from what I'm understanding, has adopted their natural hazard mitigation plan, and each of the cities, in turn, needs to adopt their own. With the counties as an umbrella, and each of the cities gets submitted with the counties. We're looking into the details of that process and I'm coordinating with some of the folks that are at the state level on that as to what's needed. But the city of Lapine is one of the remaining cities that needs to get ours completed so that the county can submit the final document to FEMA. So we're working on that and should have that done over the next month here. Now that process will include, we need to have a public hearing to open up for opportunity for the public to express any concerns on natural hazards or anything that's in the document. I don't expect it to be anything that's controversial. It's a really good thing for the city to have the plan, to note that we've considered these issues. And then there will be also some action items that are included into it that reference different infrastructure needs as related to natural hazards, you know, flood, earthquake, fire, those sorts of things. And it has some action items that can make the city stronger in case of one of those occurrences.
Does that involve emergency plans and routes and all that sort of thing?
It probably does. I need to look into the draft. There's a draft plan that was completed already. My understanding is there was a work group that occurred earlier this year. So I just got the documents and I'm looking at them now to see what it includes. But theoretically, I think it could include some documents.
My guess is it's going to reference the county disaster.
For a lot of things, it will.
Because you're not going to keep redoing these. Because the county has all of that.
But do we have a specific emergency plan for Lapine?
It's the counties. I mean, nothing changed. The county, other than just a new jurisdiction. I mean, you know, the same number of businesses and people and the same roads are here. It's just saying that you just overlaid it with the city. So it's just taking the plans, any plan they have, and they have a full-time emergency service coordinator and they provide the law enforcement and they own the roads. So, you know, not much change. We don't run fire, police, and we don't run the roads. So, you know, we can call the mayor down here to a meeting and stand in the middle of the flood or the fire. But he doesn't have anyone to order around. I mean, you gotta control the military if you're going to tell them where they need to go. So, it is different in that.
I guess I'm thinking in terms of local information. You know, getting
but the plan addresses all of this
the
stuff.
Local people.
The plan addresses all of that.
Okay.
With our water issue the other day, to a degree, we had a test because the county emergency guy came. He had all the numbers. He handled the press releases. He knows how to do all of that, and it worked fine. So, that's exactly what would happen. It's just a different instead of a water thing. It's a flood, fire, obviously. Forest Service would be in the middle of it and everything else, and so there's a whole different set of players. But if you look at it, the city of Lapine, due to our small size, we don't have staff to go do anything. So you let the fire run the fire side, and the law enforcement runs the law enforcement side, and the sheriff and the road department runs the road side. Our biggest thing would be water, actually, because we do provide that.
And the plan, for example, that could include an action item for the city to consider saving resources to have another water line created and built and with some sort of time frame. So that would be a sample of an action item that would be in that plan.
One of the things that I notice when I'm driving around Lapine is there's an awful lot of vacant lots that have weeds and everything 2 feet or so high. Isn't there some way that we can pass an ordinance or something that they have, if you've got a vacant lot in Lapine, that you need to reduce the fire hazard there by cutting the, I know some cities have a 6-inch high ordinance. I mean, it's really a big fire hazard if somebody's going around and happens to put the cigarette into one of them.
It certainly could be, and yes, the city does have the ability to write those ordinances. My understanding is that is already addressed in some code enforcement issues.
Not quite what he's saying. Okay. Code enforcement, if it's crosses a certain threshold, what he's talking about is basically a weed abatement type thing where you set it at 6 inches or some number, and everyone has to mow their properties. If it's above so many acres, you can come around and just mow the edges so wide and all of that.
Right.
I think it's because I hear what Don's saying. Doug Ward brings it up all the time. When you think we're ready, but what I find in Lapine is that we talk tough sitting here, but when it comes to then enforcing what we pass, because if you're going to go out and make every lot in Lapine mow down to 6 inches, you will have a full house of people if you go to enforce it. Now, we can go pass it. That's easy. You guys come down here, two people will show up, you'll say you held a hearing, and you'll pass it. But when Corey goes out and starts to send letters, and people say, what are you talking about? And they say, well, I'm on welfare, or I'm a veteran that's disabled.
I can't run a lawnmower and I have a half an acre. Who's mowing my lot? You mean to tell me you're going to cite me? It's all of that. And because in Madras and Redmond, what happens is, if you don't, a contractor comes by and mows it and bills you. You have no choice. They give you a warning and they mow you. And you get the bill. Is Lapine ready to do that? And I'm just saying, we're a 7 or 8 year old city, and I think maybe that's something down the road. I'm just not sure we as a community are ready quite yet. It's a need, but where in this cycle do we do that?
At some point we're going to have to start.
Well, I agree, but right now we're just starting to enforce the current rules that you guys, before you were here, but the many rules that have been approved, and we get pushed back on all. And it's, you know, you can only...
Isn't there some way that we could somehow get the word out to these lots that it is a fire hazard and the city would like to see something taken care of on, or, I mean, give them a way to do it on their own, but still let them know that the city's concerned about
sure.
it?
Sure. Make some public announcements.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I just reluctant to pass ordinances that we're not going to enforce. That's up to you. You guys, I tell people, I just today had a discussion on someone with a site plan. And they're like, what do you mean we can't just go do X, Y, Z? And I said, well, you can't. And this is why. And this body approved the rules and requirements. But we have that discussion daily, basically. And they leave here not happy. And so we do have to kind of keep it in perspective.
I think I'd like to say something. At this point, you know, there is a movement right now, keeping the shine on Lapine, and it seems to be catching on. And a lot of people are, you know, taking a more positive approach and pride. And hopefully more and more things will be happening with that, that people will want to clean out their yards. Or there are people, they'll find out there are resources and people that are willing to help them do that. So, you know,
yeah.
Rather than at this point approaching it that
community-based
way, you know,
obviously works better.
Yeah.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't fire protection prevention part of the duties of the Lapine Fire Department? Now, they have a program for commercial establishments where they go in on a whatever basis and check to see that they're complying with all the fire regulations and the rules and sprinklers and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't that carry over to residential areas?
The fire district, which is a public entity controlled by an elected board of directors, has, if you took Central Oregon, there's 10 to 12 fire districts or city departments, and that would be from Warm Springs to down the road here at Crescent. I'm going to be careful how I say it. The Lapine Fire District would be in the bottom part of prioritizing that whole set of topics. They don't do, to my knowledge, but I could be wrong and corrected, business inspections like you said. They don't. They do not annually go around into businesses and check for fire extinguishers and things. They don't do that. They have chosen as a department to not focus in that area, and the board, elected board of directors, I mean, I'm assuming they're all, that's just where the decisions they've made. So if you go to other places, they go around and they do business inspections and they check all of those things. And then there's some in the middle. There's kind of a third that's pretty strict, then there's a middle third, and then there's a third that's not too involved in it. And my theory or thought is we're in that kind of that third of, you know, and there is no state law that requires it. So see, it would be up to that fire district.
Okay. Anything else? No? All right. Special meeting development update. It must be Tammy's.
Rick, so agenda item number 11 is discussion of special meeting on development updates. So the thought of potentially having you and I briefly, you mentioned this to me, talking about an update on the New Haven development.
Oh, yeah, that's sorry. With New Haven. What we were thinking, you've talked about the New Haven apartment project off of Huntington Road by the schools, where the land has been somewhat clear to the trees. And Tammy's not been involved at all in this particular one. This is a carryover from Bill Adams, and started probably, you know, they probably had early discussions, maybe even with Deborah, but they were not actually doing anything. So, and I know the chair has brought up, and I know you guys have talked concerns or wondering about the project and want some level of comment on that project. So what we were thinking of doing is having a work session on that project where we can talk about, and she can explain, under our rules, it doesn't have to come here for approval. Now, it can be called up, I believe, for approval, but you might have to come back to us later.
By council, yes.
By the city council. Mm-hmm. Can the planning commission request?
Let me look that up. I've only seen reference to council, but I'll look that up.
But I didn't know if that meant that if the planning commission makes a decision, the council can call it up. I think it would be a little bit odd to have if the council wanted to review it and they had never looked at it. So, right. Bottom line is the staff can approve, deny, or come up with the recommendations of a project like this. This particular project, for various reasons, there's attorneys involved. And so we have what I would say we're working on, almost call it a negotiated settlement. Meaning that your ability to influence changes probably are small, if any. So that's why we were thinking of it more of a work session to make you knowledgeable. Explain what it's going to look like, and then it gives you a chance, at least on the record, to voice any concerns that you might have that, of course, are on the record forever. And you can always say, "I told you so," because it's going to be very hard the way this is done. And the main reason is, and it's something I have Tammy working on as a priority, is. Our original rules and regulations probably need some tweaking here and there because we were a new city. The Planning Commission, through Deborah, approved a site plan process. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, but an example is we don't have some of the transportation system plan has not been incorporated into our ordinance. And it needs to be. We have the transportation system plan. But when you go to our site plan review process, it doesn't say you have to follow it. Now, there's other ways to require that, and those are some of the things that have been worked on with the applicant, the city, and the two attorneys. So we need to make some changes and upgrade our process. But until this came along, we hadn't had any major site plan processes. So that's where we're stuck. And I think that you're going to find out a lot of our codes and things is because you have never tried them yet. You don't know what's wrong with them till you try them. And every town's a little different. So that was the thought, is have a work session. Because we under a clock, we have to finalize this. So, and it'd be a public meeting. People can come. It's not a public hearing, It'd be a work session. You maybe would have the applicant here to explain what they're doing. You know, that type of thing. So I look at it as kind of an educational process, a chance for you to ask questions. It gets it on the record, and go from there. If you'd like that.
Well, that makes sense. That,
yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it would be sometime in the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be a regular meeting. It could if you had that and then went to your regular meeting.
Okay. All right.
But I didn't want us to prove that with you never even sitting at a meeting talking about it.
Say that again.
We didn't want you to read that it was approved and you never even had a chance to sit and discuss some of your concerns.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Exactly. Yeah. See, we don't have a private road standard, as an example. It just hasn't been one. And so they made the roads private. So if you say, well, a road needs to be 24 feet wide, a private road, like most jurisdictions in Central Oregon have a private road standard. It must be X wide. Well, we don't. So if I want to make it narrower, we don't have a rule that can make them widen it.
Are we subject to the county in that respect?
We tried that.
Didn't work.
No. So we have to come up with, you know, it's kind of these things. And it's just the fact is it takes, there are so many, you know, just like the mitigation, the hazard mitigation thing. I mean, it seems like we spent all of our time and money, it's just this plan after plan after plan. You never have any time and energy that you can go spend on actually doing things. That's why I'm a little reluctant to come up with more ordinances, because it's very hard to enforce, and we need to improve the ones we got.
Yeah. Well, as you said before, we're only 7 years old. You can't do everything overnight. There's a lot of priorities that have to be taken care of. You know what they are, and you know what they are. So that's why you're here, to take care of the priorities first. And
yeah.
It just takes time.
I think every time someone applies for something, it seems like you kind of sometimes part, you'll look at it and think, some things go are real, it makes sense and works. And sometimes you'll read an ordinance on something, like I was thinking of mini storage is a prime example. And in our code, the only outright use is like five acres?
5 acres.
5 acres and above. So if I want to build a mini storage project in La Pont, the smallest lot I can do it on is 5 acres. Well, do you know, that's huge. There aren't many mini storages on 5 acres. And so why is it in there? Don't ask me. It's in there. But the book's that thick, and you know when you so that needs to be changed.
It's thicker than that.
Yeah. But until someone came along and applied, you know, you haven't got down to that detail. So those are things that we're keeping track of, and that Tammy will be coming to you over time, and we can make those adjustments. See, is that an example? You probably have seen many.
Oh, there's a lot of them, and that's not unusual, and that's very common, because codes can't be written to fit every scenario. So but that's why you all are here, to gauge those questions and see what seems to make sense for the city. So we'll deal with them one at a time and as we find them.
Okay, well.
We did talk about that a lot when we were developing ordinances, and we discussed, you know, the common sense approach on things. But like we were told, I mean, until it's tested.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could put this in here, and a lot of them are kind of standard. But we all said La Pine's unique. It doesn't fit, you know, but that's what you go with, because that's what's there. But we knew that they would be tested, so.
And the nice thing about the code that you do have is that there is an exceptions process written into it that gives the city a lot of flexibility to analyze a unique scenario that might not fit one hole or another in the code. And it still gives a number of standards to analyze it by, make sure it's, you know, beneficial for the community, it's not harming any neighbors, and that it's a positive improvement. So, and there's probably 8 or 9 standards that are attached to that exceptions process. So it gives the city a lot of flexibility, and not all cities have that process in there. So I think that is a really good one to keep in mind for a lot of these items that come up.
Okay. Anything further, Corey? You have anything to add?
But there was nothing else on that. That was the only topic, wasn't it?
That one project.
Correct. All right, there are no other matters. Since we have a little extra time, it's not on the agenda. If anyone in the audience would like to make a comment or ask a question, now would be a good time. But you must stand up. You must give your name and you must give your address.
Dennis Scott, 52706 Murray Drive, Lapine. Is there any other projects going on? How about the credit union? Is that done and over with?
That's
ready
true.
To go? And that's still county?
Yes. It's in the building permit process. I think they can be, there's nothing they're waiting for, particularly for us. We've sent it off. The county won't do anything until we sign off, and that's all done, so.
Oh, okay, so that's moved on.
Yeah, they'll be.
Is there any other projects going on, or that's it? Basically,
some small calls about partitioning residential lots and inquiries about property, but no
lots
major
of
property.
Mini storage projects,
yeah,
just interest in general.
Yeah, quite a few.
Two or three or four of those, but you know,
yeah,
most of them.
Yeah, a lot of inquiries on different parcels as far as what can I do with this parcel? Can I subdivide it? A few commercial inquiries, but at this point they're all just inquiries because that's what the city's here is to be referenced.
We have, I think the one I just showed him today was in your cul-de-sac. He lives next door. You should tell him the map if you haven't seen it. And I think that's one that I think you should, at some point, may come here for discussion. Habitat for Humanity wants to take the cul-de-sac over there and put
13
townhouses on this,
and then four others.
It's basically already zoned for that.
How many on this side?
When they bought it,
that was 13. It's 11.
It's
13 on that side.
It's a bunch. It's a bunch. Basically, take 50-foot lots, cut them to 25 feet wide, and have a row houses. So we just got the initial thing, went to our old planner, he forwarded it to me yesterday, and so tonight, earlier, we sat down and just kind of looked at it. Tammy's going to talk to the folks at Habitat a little bit and kind of find out where they are, so we may have a meeting with them, but that's one that, you know, I think it's kind of that, it's not just one person building one house, you're talking 17 houses on one cul-de-sac, zero lot line. Kind of a unique and different thing than you would normally see over in that area or in Lapine in general. And there's some land use type of questions that it triggers. And I think it's a good thing for folks to kind of,
they mentioned that that's coming. A year or two or?
No.
Well, it's not an application at this point, right?
We're just talking.
Pre-development.
Their committee has talked about it. And they had met with us a year ago on it, so it's something, you know, it's a big group. There's 20 of them in here having meetings, and they've talked about it, so.
This is the local Habitat?
Yeah.
Okay, so one more thing on Don's suggestion about the tall grass. I happen to be involved in the Shine on Lapine, of course, and businesses are calling us now. And wondering how they can do, you know, all this shy. Of course, we got Main Street's going to be all redone in a couple of years, and so you have to hold back on some of it. But I mean, especially the fire season we're having this year, maybe it's time to implement some of this stuff. I think it's really in people's minds right now, and on the fire stuff, and that goes along with shining up the city, you know, not having the weeds grow. Just a thought.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can, since the Shine on Lapine thing is taking off, maybe we can go with the flow of the city, you know, and start pushing these things a little heavier.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get, all I would say is that from a staff standpoint, I would want to make sure before we take on any new rules like that, that the council and everyone understands what you're taking on, because because one of these things is, you know, we go marching down and we turn around and all the people that were supporting, they've all taken a vacation.
But this might be the prime time to start.
And the other thing, Dennis, I think that you're gonna like this thing we're doing tonight. Part of what we have to do is convince, it's the people we don't normally see. We the 50 or even 100 people that come to all the meetings, you guys can reach kind of agreement on a lot of this stuff. But it's at 1,400 that we don't see. And those are the ones you're forcing these rules and regulations onto. It isn't, I agree, that the 50 people that meet and then the 50 or 100 people that say hurrah, it's that other group that you have to, they're the ones that you're going to be putting this enforcement on, and that's where everything gets like this.
But at the same time, we're doing this little China on the Pine thing, and we're visiting every single business, you know, to have them sign up to make their business look better. I mean, if we team up and everybody's on the same page, and next year we're going to start hit the residential areas. So people are going to know this. The 1,400 people are going to know this.
Yeah.
You know, so in the future, the next year or so, maybe we can all, everybody can come together. The whole thing is educating the community. And that's what we're trying to do now. I mean, of course, we don't like to pull knapweed, but it's sort of educating the people so they get that mindset.
Yeah.
We are cleaning up the pine.
Yeah.
And so next spring, we're going to start trying to go into some residential areas and go, if we have to go house by house. That's our plan. So we'd really like the city and everybody else to buy in it at the same time.
Yeah, we definitely support that. And I think that community-based approach,
mm-hmm.
this fall and next spring, see where we're at next year, you know, you got the carrot, and then if the stick is necessary, the stick is necessary. But I like the approach that the Shine on the Pine is taking. I'd like to see where that goes, and then, you know, obviously
talk about, but we got to have everybody to buy into it.
That sure. I don't think we hear a disagreement here. On,
right. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your comments. We're running a little short on time.
Oh, sorry.
I appreciate it. Is there anyone else? Ms. Hagen?
Kathy Hagen, 16439 Riley Drive. With the credit union going in, I had asked once before, is it standard or do they always have a blue roof? I'm just wondering, with whatever way we go with the city and Huntington as far as design and colors and that type of thing, maybe we can just have Lollipop Lane or something. But I just didn't know if the roof was standard, if it will be blue, or if
the roof is blue.
The roof is blue. So.
Again, when you start, there are towns that have palettes for color charts. You know, is Lapine ready in year 7 to do that? I mean, so your concern is legitimate. There are towns, Tammy knows, that Sisters, for sure, when Matters has, and I think that it has a palette.
Sandy does.
The first time they really went to enforce the palette, again, everything's great until you go to enforce it. You went to enforce it, and they actually told the business you have to repaint. And you know what happened? The room got filled, and people said, this is government overstepping its bounds, and people, the community that came, and the council backed off. Because it's very hard to stand up to that. And so then they reworded their thing to where you have more flexibility and everything. And so, no, we do not have a requirement to on palette of colors. And but if you look at what we got Mid-Oregon to do, they really did a whole bunch of things that we did want them to do that we couldn't force them to do. Their buildings all have a blue roof, and one of the things they said is, we really want to keep our blue roof. And I think that when it's landscaped and with the wood, because they made it kind of sandy, look a little with the wood and some of these things, and with the trees they're planting and the grass they're doing and all the rest of it, I think it softens it. It kind of, we're getting street trees along the curb and the sidewalk, so it'll be the grates and the street trees, and those grow up, and I think that it'll be fine when you see it, but that's why.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Mayor, do you have any words of wisdom for us? Can we adjourn? All comments from the commission? Rolando?
Yes.
She's been busy pulling weeds.
I'll comment.
Make it quick.
If you'll remember when Deborah was our planner, she gave us a book about this thick of all the stuff that was on it. Then Tammy, when you came in, you gave us another book that wasn't quite as thick. Do we still need those two books, or should we bring one of them and turn them in?
Could I see somebody's copy of one of them, and I can go through it and see?
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Okay, that'd be great, and I can go through it and see. Some of them will be similar. It depends what year you got them in.
A lot of it's exactly
the same. A lot of it will probably be very similar. Folks weren't sure whether, you know, how what you had, so we just wanted to make
sure. It may have drafts of documents.
It may, and some of the ordinances have been updated in little sections. And
marijuana things. Stuff, too.
I can go through it.
Okay. Norman, do you have any comments?
No, I'm good.
Well, I would just like to thank staff, all three of you, for informing us of what's going on, because that's what we heard. And at this point, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I shall move.
I'll second.
And any further comment? The vote, please.
Aye.
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 Hit the stick.
Okay, thank you. Everyone stay for our presentations, and if you want to sit up there, you can.